Okay, so as we began, we said today is the fourth Sunday of Lent. This is a day of joy, as we said, because the resurrection of Christ is near. Easter is coming. It's the first word in the Latin of the introit, or the entrance antiphon. Now, it's always 21 days before Easter, always exactly. And Laetare Jerusalem, the Latin means rejoice Jerusalem, and that is because our Savior is close at hand. This is the Latin from Isaiah chapter 66, and it's the entrance verse, as I said, to the Mass. Now, it's also called Rose Sunday because the rose-colored vestments, different from the penitential purple of the season of Lent. But it's also used to be called the Sunday of the Five Loaves. Why so? Because the gospel that we use in the old calendar that was read today at Mass was the multiplication of the loaves, the only miracle other than the resurrection that appears in all four gospels. Now, the Sunday is considered, this Sunday is considered a day of relaxation from the normal Lenten rigors. Now, normally, each Sunday kind of is a day that we don't do penance because it's a solemnity, even in Lent. And it's a day of hope that Easter's near, as we said. Traditionally, weddings, did you know this? Weddings that were otherwise banned during Lent would be performed on this day, and servants were released from service for the day to visit their mother church, which is the church which they were baptized. Hence, this is also called Mothering Sunday. So it's a beautiful day, and even more so, a beautiful passage. Do you realize that we just read probably the most known and famous of any one line of scripture in the entire Bible? Did you catch it? John 3:16. And I used to hear me say when I was a child, you don't see it too much anymore, but the man with the rainbow-colored wig, I think it had a different meaning back then, this was decades ago, would go to all the major sporting events, the Super Bowl, the World Series, and he would have that big sign, John 3:16. And John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that everyone who believes in him might not perish, but will have eternal life. Now, this is important because it's tied to also the serpent, right? He's talking about raising the serpent in the desert. Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert, so must the Son of Man be lifted up so that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. We just read this in the gospel. You were listening, right? Okay, why is this important? The bronze serpent is important to this. Why? Because, first of all, the serpent is a graven image. Graven images are not forbidden in the Bible. It's the graven image because otherwise you couldn't have a picture on your desk. Otherwise, you'd have to destroy that picture of your family. That's a graven image. The point is we cannot have graven images for the purpose of worshiping them. And so this was not a graven image for the purpose of worship. The serpent on the bronze pole that Moses raised in the desert. The rabbis explained it was not the serpent that gave life. This is how the Jews understood it, okay? It was not the serpent that gave life. They didn't worship that serpent. They believed in the one who had commanded Moses to act and make the serpent. It was God who healed them. It's the same with us Catholics. That is the image of divine mercy. It's not the canvas or the paint that saves us, it is what that image represents. And so the power was not in the serpent, it was only a symbol. It was only a symbol to turn their thoughts to God, the one who does heal. So now, what does Jesus mean when he says that the Son of Man must be lifted up? That's his words, right? Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Why? What does he mean? Well, first of all, Jesus links this expression with Moses, who lifted up the bronze serpent, as we just said, to do what? Why did Moses have that bronze serpent? To heal from snake bites. Father, what does that mean? I don't understand. How does that? Okay. This plague of death was the result of being people being bit by sin. It was symbolic. All right, so the serpent was made of bronze. Now, I bet you never learned this. I'm going to share this with you at seminary now. We're going back to seminary, as I always say. But you don't have to pay, sit in class, or take a test. Basically, the serpent was made of bronze. Why? Because that was the metal associated with judgment in the Bible. Why? Because bronze is made with fire. And fire was the symbol of judgment. It is a picture of judgment. So the bronze is important because the people were facing the judgment with a bronze serpent, bronze being the metal associated with judgment because it was formed in fire, and the people had to look at the snake because the bite of the snake was the bite of sin. Makes a lot of sense according to the Jewish rabbis. But we don't learn this. We're just told you Catholics worship graven images. Well, let's look at what the Jews did here. And same as God commanding Moses to put the cherubim on the Ark of the Covenant. Carve them. Put them on there. He didn't say to worship them. Now, a serpent being wrapped around the pole, because picture this now. Moses lifts it up. You have a pole, and there's a serpent wrapped on the pole. This was the ancient figure of healing and medicine. I've mentioned before, that's the symbol of Blue Cross Blue Shield. They've also lost their way. I don't think anybody at Blue Cross Blue Shield even really knows what their own symbol even is. The symbol of the snake is the cross. There's a vertical pole. The serpent lays horizontally on a vertical pole, just like a cross. Ask anybody at Blue Cross Blue Shield if they know what their own symbol even means. And so for the Israelites, the only way to cure the snake's bite was to look directly at the snake. Dominion over it. You ever have a conversation you don't like with somebody? You're intimidated, you look away. But if you assert, I'm the one that is leading this conversation, you look them directly in the eye. And that's what you had to do with the serpent. I'm going to look you in the eye, and with the power of God's healing, I'm going to overcome the bite of the sin of the serpent. This is all the meaning behind this. We don't hear this. We never learn this. All we're told is we worship these images. My goodness gracious. So you would look at the snake's bite, to look right at the snake to overcome it. And the only way to free us from the result of our sin is to now look at Jesus on the cross, but instead flip it and realize I'm not the one in charge, Christ is. That is surrender. If Jesus had refused the cross, there'd be no glory. Now Jesus is the one on that cross, the ultimate healing. Moses lifted the serpent on the cross because the Jews believed God healed through that image of bronze. Now we Christians don't believe, just believe. We know that the only way we are truly healed is to see that same horizontal beam and the vertical beam, but Christ now is the one we look at. And so it's the same for us. We can, if we want, choose the easy way, but then there's no glory. There is no Easter Sunday without Good Friday. And this is what our Lord is telling us. Now, you've heard me say before, we know why Jesus died on the cross, because the penalty for sin is death. When you sin or I sin, we deserve to die. Jesus died in our place. But you can go to the Easter Vigil now. We're getting closer to the Easter Vigil. What do the words say? To ransom a slave, God gave his son. So he paid the debt for us, which is death because of sin. His death on the cross was both a total offering to God and the perfect sacrifice of sin for the sin of the world. So that's what we have in the Mass. This is the Mass, the one offering sacrifice, Jesus Christ himself, the perfect lamb. The animals were shed, the blood of the animals, to atone for the sin of man. But he is the one offering sacrifice and the one being offered. This is why we say the Mass is the only perfect form of prayer. It is God offering God to God, and you are part of it. It is God the Holy Spirit offering God the Son in atonement for the sins of the world to God the Father. That's what's happening in the Mass. And the high point of the Mass, the concluding doxology, when the priest elevates that host, the chalice and the paten, and he says, through him and with him and in him, O God, Almighty Father, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours forever and ever. As Jesus said to the apostles at the Last Supper where he instituted the Mass, do you have any idea what I have just done for you? I ask myself that question every Mass. As that is elevated and we realize it is the power of the Holy Spirit offering God the Son in sacrifice, offering himself as well to God the Father for our sins and the sins of the whole world, we have at every Mass here behind me the cross. This is the fulfillment of the pole that was put in the desert with the serpent so that the Jews could be healed. You look upon that and you are healed. Now, maybe not physically or every ailment you have on this earth, but you will for eternal life. You will be healed of everything. Well, Father, I really don't believe because I wasn't healed. My mother wasn't healed. My son wasn't healed. Well, yes, on this world, but in the life to come, if you have eternal life, you are healed of everything. There will be no ailments, emotional, physical, or spiritual ailing. There will be zero. You will be completely healed. And this is the meaning of this passage. And so his death on the cross means so much. This is why it says God so loved the world. And he didn't say just the Jews. The Bible doesn't say God so loved the Jews that he sent them their Messiah. No, God so loved the world. It's not just the Jews or even just the good. It is for everyone that he sent his Son. It is for everyone. God loving the unlovable and forgiving the unforgivable. Not just the perfect. This is the mercy of God, the Father. We always think of Jesus. We do and we should. But how many people, when we see the image of divine mercy, realize that that's the image of the face of the Father's mercy? Misericordia vultus. Mercy is not just the New Testament with the friendly-looking Jesus, as beautiful as that is, with this nice Jesus in the Hyla image, the blue image of divine mercy. Rather, it is the God of the Old Testament who sent his Son in the first place. God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son. That is mercy. True love is manifested in the cost and sacrifice of the giver. And that's what God gave us. True lovers hold nothing back, but give the absolute best of themselves that can be offered to only to their beloved. That's why contraception. We just did a talk on contraception on EWTN. I did an episode on that. You can find it on the YouTube. I went back to an older video I had done. A lot less gray hair then. And man, were we lambasted. Because the Catholic Church is so ancient and does not understand anything about humanity. But you want to talk about understanding humanity? There's nothing better than the Catholic Church to understand humanity. Because in contraception, you are saying, I'm not going to give all of myself to you. I'm not going to do that. God gave everything to us, including his only begotten Son. He held nothing back. And that's what Jesus was doing on the cross. Jesus held nothing back. He returned to the Father what the Father had given him. The Father had given him everything. And he gave everything to the world and everything back to God the Father. In contraception, you are blocking that. I love you, yeah, I really do, but I don't love you enough to have another one like you in the world. Well, Father, I can't have 48 children. We understand that. God understands that. There are many, many, well, I'm not going to go into that topic now, but we have to understand that love is the giving of the giver, the sacrifice. And so it was God who sent his son in the first place. Wow. God proved his love for every one of us by giving us the best he had to offer, his son, right? We are to give the best fruits to God. That's why churches are to be beautiful. Another criticism we hear all the time of our Catholic Church, how criticized we commonly are because our churches are beautiful. We get criticized and condemned for that. The best should be given to God. The most beautiful thing shouldn't be your $20 million mansion adorned in gold inlays and all that. Your best and most beautiful should be given to God. That is why the churches should be beautiful. Not plain white walls that you see in other denominations. That's not beauty for God. Beauty for God is what you see in the most beautiful Catholic churches. We are to give that. He loved and gave us his only begotten son, and when we still didn't even love him. And so we need to give back. This is the true sign of love, loving those who do not always love us. And that's true forgiveness. This had never been done before. And God's teaching us a real lesson. And we have a choice. We have a choice. I finished by saying, you know, look at what's going on in the world today. France, you had a choice. What did you do? You codify abortion into your constitution. Just the other day, they codified abortion into their constitution, taking away all the graces that God is dying to give to them, literally. But then you have Ireland. Now, Ireland, yes, they've done some mistakes in the past in their voting, but I don't know if you heard what happened Friday. Friday, they had two referendums in Ireland. And a guy came here from Ireland to see me. And I was at the strategic planning. I didn't know he was here. He came from Ireland. He said, Father Chris, please make a video. Please make a video for the people of Ireland. There is a huge vote on Friday. I feel terrible that I missed this. And although it's a little after the fact, it's not too late to state Ireland had a referendum to change the Constitution, to remove from the Constitution the very fact and statement that marriage is the foundation of the family. The referendum was to say that, to remove the word marriage and say any relationship can be the foundation of the family. That is not true. A sinful relationship cannot be the foundation of a family. The other one was the role of women. They were attacked for this traditional view, calling it archaic and sexist, because the role of the lady, the woman, to be able to help in rearing of the family. They wanted to remove all that. So this critical vote came up in Ireland. Father, stop talking about politics. This is the foundation of the Catholic faith, marriage and the family. It is the bedrock of society, and souls are at stake because of it. This is not politics. In fact, the church does say, read our catechism, that the priest is to be involved in politics when souls are at stake. We're not talking endorsing political parties. It's not what I'm talking about here. That's what is forbidden. We're not endorsing political parties. What we're endorsing is defending life and the family. And so this vote came up on Friday in Ireland. And the Prime Minister of Ireland, who promoted this, changed the Constitution, remove marriage as the bedrock of the family, rewrite the sexist definition of the role of the woman. And it was defeated strongly. Praise be to God. And that prime minister said, wow, were we wrong. Wow, were we wrong. Well, we can only fight God for so long. France, take a look at Ireland. Ireland has done a lot of mistakes. We, America, have done a huge amount of mistakes. But it's not too late. Praise be to God that Ireland, on Friday, realized it's not too late. France, we pray for you. America, we pray for you. America has an election coming up this year, and it's not just for president. All your local officials, state representatives, senators, all of those, you vote on the dignity of human life, the sanctity of marriage between man and a woman, and protection of religious liberty. That's what we have to vote on. I don't care who the candidate is. That's what we have to vote on. Praise be to God for Ireland waking up and seeing what God is trying to teach us. Let the world please see a lesson. And on this joyful day of Laetare Sunday, let us also see the joy in bringing the bedrock of the faith into our lives, our families, and our country. God bless you.
Are you a Marian helper? Join our Spiritual Benefit Society and start sharing in the graces of all the daily masses, prayers, and good works of Marian priests and brothers all over the world. Sign up is free and easy. Simply visit micprayers.org. That's micprayers.org. Thank you, and God bless you. Please follow or subscribe to this podcast to receive the latest episodes and updates. If you have been blessed by this podcast, I invite you to leave a review. Reviews greatly improve our podcast ranking and will help spread this podcast to other people throughout the world. Are you enjoying this podcast? I invite you to listen to more shows brought to you by the Marian Fathers of the Immaculate Conception. Join us daily for enriching spiritual content which will help you on your journey with Jesus Christ. Simply visit DivineMercyPlus.org for a complete list of our shows. That's DivineMercyPlus.org. Are you a Marian helper? Join our Spiritual Benefit Society and start sharing in the graces of all the daily masses, prayers, and good works of Marian priests and brothers all over the world. Sign up is free and easy. Simply visit micprayers.org. That's micprayers.org. Thank you, and God bless you.